Good morning, everyone. Good morning. So today we're going to talk about personal development, how to grow. And it's based on a very, very fascinating and thought-provoking Ishbitz in Parshas Vayetze. There's a common expression, you have to know who you are so that you can grow. The truth is, you really have to know who you're not in order for you to grow. So we'll talk about what that means. Let's first give a little introduction. We always like to parse the statement. You can't just read it directly. So Parshas Vayetze obviously circles names, a lot of different names, a lot of different personalities. The names of the 11 children born in Vayetze are all related to their experiences, with the experiences of their mother and their marriages that the mothers were involved in. Hashem saw my pain, Reuven gave me a child, Shimon heard my suffering, Levi, Yaakov will now escort me. So Vayetze is the parsha of names in the entire Sefer Bereishis. And evidently, this is what the Ishbitzer says, but it's as obvious to us that in those days, parents were able to understand the children's potential, their predilections, their inherent qualities, and apply the name appropriately. Even though many of the names in Vayetze have little to do with the children, they seem to be more relating to the parents' experiences, but some of them do. And he creates name associations even beyond the ones we have in the Torah. So Rachel, he feels, is called Rachel because she was always sublimating her feelings, her desires, her jealousies, but her envy of her sister in a way that was positive because she was very, very, she wanted to be like her sister, but she didn't take it out on her sister. And he quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya that talks about being quiet like a sheep. Rachel is also a sheep. And when sheep are shorn, or they're shechted, they're quiet, they're meek, they don't scream and yell and thrash around. So even Lavan understood that Rachel's life would require her to sublimate and suppress some of her unfulfilled ambitions in a way that would be healthy. But she would not, let, as we say, lash out at people around her. Leah was called Leah because she was so thirsty and almost weakened by her thirst for a kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Comes from the word nil'eh. Nil'eh means you're weak, you're almost like drained. Well, drained is a good word for nil'eh. So evidently, names in Vayetze are not just random. When your parents gave you a name, they didn't really understand who you were and what your potential was. Me as well. They just gave us a name based on a relative, based on someone that they knew, a nice-sounding name. But in those days, names were reflective of a parent's ability or the community's ability to identify a certain trait within the person and to name the person accordingly. Okay, so now we know what names are in Tanakh, or certainly in Sefer Bereishis, through the prism of Vayetze. There's a medrash in Koheles. It's not a medrash in Vayetze, but it's a medrash that you'd want to read about and think about during Parshas Vayetze. The medrash in Koheles says as follows. Each person has three names. The name your parents gave you, the name that other people call you, and the name that you acquire yourself. I'll read you the language. Shlosha shemos yesh le'adam. Echad shekar lo aviv imo, the name your parents gave you. Echad shekar lo acherim, the name that other people apply to you. The name you acquire yourself. Of course, names doesn't mean actual legal names. You only have one name, maybe two names. But it means identities, personalities, traits, characters. There's a character that your parents were able to sense and give you a name. Remember, now that we've established that a name is not just a name, but it's reflective of character. So when you see the word naming, you see the word shame in Medrash, it doesn't mean a name. It means personality, character, developmental parts of you. You are who you are when you're born. There's a certain you that you're born, and at least in the days of Sefer Bereishis, your parents were able to capture that in the name, but today we can't, but that's still that natural identity still exists. And then there is what you accomplish in this world, what other people see, your work, your efforts, your contributions, that becomes part of your personality. So if you'll be a big Talmud Chacham, then that'll be part of your personality. It'll be a name. It doesn't have to be, it'll give you some new name, but it'll be a different part of yourself. If you're a great human being, a great husband, a great father, if you're a doctor, if you help people, make aliyah, whatever you accomplish, that's the second part of your identity. It's not just your natural identity, but what you accomplish in this world. What's the third part? What's the name that you're koneh for yourself? Not the name that other people call you based on your accomplishments, not the name that your parents gave you based on your natural innate personality, but the name that you're koneh, mashakona liatzmo. So he says one line, b'shem shekona liatzmo hainu mashem mitaken u'mirape hachisaron shelo. It's when you perfect whatever is missing in you. Afilu hachisaron shenitba bo miyam hivaldo. Specifically, what is missing from birth. So that's the improvement. That third name is how you improve. The first name is who you are naturally, so to speak, not a name, but your first identity. The second identity, or the second part of your character, is what you accomplish that others are able to see and appreciate. Third is how you fill yourself out, how you complete yourself, how you perfect yourself. Now notice it doesn't speak about perfecting your flaws. That I was born with greed or lust or jealousy, or it doesn't talk about your chatoyim. That's what we would expect. But the third name is whatever chatoyim or natural yetzaharas you have that you eliminate. He doesn't talk about that. He says the third name, the third part of your character is mitaken umerapeh chisara. Namely, as follows. Whatever you are in life, you have to understand what you are naturally, and then try and complement that with what you are not naturally capable of and round yourself out. Rather than sticking in your comfort zone and saying, this is who I am and let me excel within that track, let me try to understand, well, this is who I'm not and make myself a fuller person by growing in that area. Let me give you an example from life, from epistemology, how we grow intellectually, and then I'll take it back to Avodas Hashem. A lot of times people come to me and say, I'm taking college, I'm a maths person, I'm physics, I like chemistry, I like computer coding, I'm really good at science. Poetry, art, literature, philosophy, it's not my thing. It's really important to study those areas because those areas will round you out as a human being. You can't get spirituality or emotion, human intelligence, emotional intelligence from a math equation. To understand people, to understand yourself, to understand the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you, people's hopes and dreams and ambitions, you should be exposed to art and literature at some level, or vice versa. I often have people coming and saying, I'm a literature person, I like reading, I hate science, I hate physics, I hate chemistry. So you should study those, because those areas, first of all, train your mind how to work discrete structures in an organized fashion. It also exposes you to the underbelly of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation. Hashem built this world on science and physics, and you want to get a little bit of sense how this world is created. Rav Lichtenstein told me that when he came to YU as a youngster, he was very young when he came to YU, went to Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, I want you to study a lot of math. So Rav Lichtenstein came back after one semester, and the Rav said, how did you like it? And Rav Lichtenstein said, I hated it. I hate math. What should I do? So the Rav said, study more math. So when I went to college, I was terrible at math. I was really, really bad. I said, I'm going to minor in math. Because I realized I had to change who I was intellectually. This is not a moral question. This is something I'll tell even a non-firm person. But even in the field, and certainly in the field of Avodas Hashem, let me give you an example. The Vilna Gaon was once asked by his Talmud, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, should I take a certain project, Reb Chaim asked him. Star Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. So the Vilna Gaon told Reb Chaim Volozhiner in Yiddish, Du bist da kluger nicht da firmer. You shouldn't take this job. You're smart. You're not firm. But Reb Chaim Volozhiner wasn't firm. What it means, I think, is as follows, that there are two types of traits Hashem puts into human beings. Some people have innate firmkeit. It means you're pious, you're devout, you're linear, you're very, very firm, you're very, very driven to submit yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some people have a trait where they're chachamim, where they're smart, they're wise, they're thoughtful, they're analytical, they think about their world, they see subtlety and nuance. And it's very rare that you find someone who naturally possesses both because they're naturally contradictory, they're contraindicated. If you're pious, you tend not to be sophisticated. You tend to be very, very driven and binary and black and white. And this is the right way. My David HaMelech was a frummer. David was very, very firm. Shlomo was a klugger. Shlomo was Chacham Mikaladam. And you can see the difference between Tehillim and Shir HaShirim. Tehillim is the worst poetry ever written. It's not meant to be poetry. It's meant to be psalms. When you write a psalm, you just pour out your heart. Eshbruch Lefan of Sichi. You know, when you write poetry, you want to leave metaphors uncompleted, unfinished. When you write, David HaMelech is always completing his metaphors. Kayal Taroga Afik Emayim. Okay, it's a beautiful metaphor. My neshama is like a little gazelle on the banks of the river. If that were a poem, you should stop right there so you can read five or six different meanings into the metaphor. But David completes the metaphor. Kenafshi Taroga Lech Hashem. That's terrible poetry. He doesn't mean to write poetry. He means to write psalms. And when you write psalms, you want to just scream out to Hashem when you write poems. So Shlomo was a kluger. Shlomo writes beautiful poetry, Shir HaShirim, Koheles, tons of metaphors that are vague and invite multiple meaning. David HaMelech writes psalms because David is a firmer. You can see the difference in how they did tshuva. Shlomo HaMelech and David more or less fell prey to the same situation. Shlomo married Egyptian wives. David HaMelech married a married woman. And David HaMelech woke up in the morning and poured his heart out to Hashem and wrote to Tehillim. Shlomo HaMelech gave all sorts of justifications why it was necessary for diplomatic needs. And he never really performs tshuva, at least that we see, for these misdeeds, because sometimes you can be too smart for your own good. Because you can justify and analyze every situation and avoid facing the hard, cold facts and the hard, cold truth. So the point is, it's really important in that area and in other areas. That's a perfect area to ask yourself, are you a kluger or a frumer? Like, look inside your neshama. Did Hashem make you smart, or did Hashem make you frum? Now you have a little bit of each, but who are you at your core? If you're a frumer, then try to read a lot, and try to think a lot, and try to broaden it, because frumkeit without chokhmah will still be very lame, because it won't be broad and deep. If you're a frumer, sort of try to read. If you're a kluger and Hashem made you smart, try to do things that make you more frum. Keep halacha very meticulously. Say tehillim. Give tzedakah. Things that have nothing to do with analysis, but give you an opportunity to express that raw religious piety without analyzing everything and understanding everything. And in other areas of life as well. Are you ambitious? Are you too ambitious? Are you not ambitious enough? Every trait, you want to understand, how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create you? What name do you have naturally? In days of Sefer Bereishis, you would have been given a name based on that natural trait. What are you going to perform in this world? What activities, what accomplishments that people will see? But that third name is to fill out and complete the chisaron, not your chatayim, but what's naturally missing because of that first name, and just become a more complete person. So to grow, you have to know not just who you are, but who you're not, and move out of your comfort zone and try to become that person that you're not, and then you'll be a more complete person. Okay? Have a good day.